Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I'm your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie, and I know just enough about Doctor Who that I don't get beat up by the cool kids.
And today we are watching Series 6, Episode 10, The Girl Who Waited.
The Girl Who Waited.
Yes, The Girl Who Waited.
The Girl Who Waited. That's me doing my very best, like, Scottish accent, specifically Karen Gillan.
Mm-hmm.
How is it?
I think it's Scottish.
You know what that made me think of? Completely unrelated. Is Scott home?
What?
He just left.
Oh, okay. Jumping through the window.
Yeah.
From Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Anyway, let us talk a little bit about The Girl Who Waited. What might you be expecting from an episode called The Girl Who Waited?
This is going to surprise a lot of people. I'm expecting a show.
Mm-hmm.
About a girl.
Okay.
Who is waiting.
Tables? She's waiting tables?
Maybe.
Like a waitress? The girl who waitresses?
Well, then the episode would be called The Girl Who Waitresses. This is the girl who waited.
Oh, okay. The girl who put stuff in.
So, yes.
On top of other things and weighed them down?
So she did. She was a waitress, but now she's not.
Oh,
because
okay.
It past tense, waited.
Makes sense. That makes absolute sense.
Yeah.
Today we are going to be watching The Girl Who Waited. I think this is one of those episodes that a lot of people remember just because it's going to be one of those. I think it's one of the most important ones to Amy and Rory without getting too much into it. So I'm curious to see how you're going to feel about it. So to get into that, let's get into the Cassie Profassi for this episode.
Wow.
I wish I could give more away, but I don't want to spoil any part of it.
Yeah, this is like I'm bullshitting my way through the girl. Like I know it's Amy.
Yeah.
Doing the waiting. She's effect. I have a feeling it's going to be Amy being like the last Centurion, but not.
Well, actually,
that
actually is one of the Profassies here I've got for you.
Whoa. I Profassied my own thing.
You Profassied the Profassy.
Yeah.
The question was that you are correct. It's not. I don't think it's too much of a spoiler to say that Amy is the girl who waited.
Yeah, no shit.
Especially because she's already waited once for the doctor from when she was little Amelia.
And she's been a Rodan ever since.
Yeah. Now she's going to have to wait again. How long do you think she waits for in this episode?
30 minutes.
30 minutes. She's waiting for her corn dogs to finish cooking in the oven.
I was going
to
say her sandwich, but okay.
They're so delicious Jersey Mike sandwich.
Yeah, she put an order and now she's got to wait 30 minutes. Much longer than that. And again, Zach, that was a bullshit answer.
For a bullshit question.
Yeah. I'm going to say 99 years.
99 years? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you think she waits around 100 years?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to make you feel like if it's like 102 that you feel like I cheat you.
No, I understand that we do Price is Right rules.
Close without going over.
Yeah.
So if it's not, so if it's like 104, you get it. But if it's 98 years, fuck you. No, I wouldn't do that. If it's around whatever you give, I'll give you the right answer. So 99 years is the Cassie guess today?
I guess so. Yeah. Well, because I'm also wondering, too, if it could be closer to like 1,000.
That is about how long Rory waited.
Well, yeah. The last Centurion.
Mm-hmm.
Duh. That's what that means. Fuck. Well, because now I'm wondering, too, if it would have to be more than Rory.
You think she's got to beat Rory?
But also she's not made of plastic.
She's not made of plastic.
But we are dealing with timey-wimey.
Yeah, wibbly wobbly timey-wimey bullshit. Hibbly bibbly wobbly boobly.
I don't know. I'll say 99 just because that is the number I've already said.
All right, 99 years or around a century. All right. This was more of a fun one, I think, for this other question here. In this episode, they go to what the Doctor calls the number two destination planet for the discerning intergalactic traveler. Why do you think they don't go to the number one planet?
I'm going to say it's because the number one planet blew up.
It blew up.
It died out. It's out of fashion.
Okay. See.
Can you repeat the title again for me one more time?
It was ranked the number two destination planet for the discerning intergalactic traveler.
So there is a lot of reasons why a planet would not be in existence.
Mm-hmm. You just think the planet doesn't exist anymore. I can accept that.
Well, because it's either that or like it's really smelly now. Like something happened to the planet, which is why the doctor. Farted. Yeah, which is why the doctor's like, oh, no, we don't go to that one anymore.
We don't go to that one. Someone made a big dookie.
Yeah, it's too smelly. It's like me today when I came home and I went into the office that you had cloistered yourself into. And I went, oh, it is a little smelly.
Smells like boy.
And I left that room. I opened the windows and then I left the room and I haven't been back in there since.
for fear of being attacked.
Yeah.
By cloistered smell.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's find out together. If Amy waits about 100 years, 99 years, excuse me, I shouldn't speak out for you. If she waits 99 years, and if they don't go to the number one planet because the number one planet went kablooey, as we watch The Girl Who Waited.
Now, by kablooey, I mean it's either very smelly or it farted itself out of existence. Kablooey. Or if it got taken over by a family of dancing dogs, kablooey. Oh, or if the whole planet became Australia. I think I have enough wiggle room there.
Today's episode of Who Is My Doctor is brought to you by Angus MacLeod's Authentic Scottish Accent Academy.
Are you tired of your bland, flavorous voice? Sounding more like a soggy crumpet than a thunderclap over the Highlands? Then come on down to Angus MacLeod's Authentic Scottish Accent Academy. I am Angus MacLeod, son of Broadsword MacLeod, born during a pub brawl and baptized in Iron Brew. At my academy, we take your weak wee words and turn them into burlading broadsides of beauty. We've got courses like Intro to Growling Through a Smile, Advanced Grunting, Yelling Lad as a comma, and Is it anger or is it just the accent? You'll ne'er regret it, or I'm not actually Scottish.
And we are back from The Girl Who Waited.
So it turns out Apalapachea did not turn into Australia.
No, Apalapachea did not turn into Australia. Nor did the number one planet voted to be the...
You didn't say voted, though.
If I had told you voted, would you have guessed it was the planet of the coffee shops? That it was the star of Bucks?
You keep that name out of your mouth! In my defense, you did not specify that it was voted the second best.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would have changed things.
Interesting. What would you have said had I told you that?
Oh, if it was voted, then I would have said yes. Like, oh, then there's like too many people on it. It's like everybody fucking moving to California. What's that like, okay. Zach?
Interesting. Well, unfortunately.
What's that like, everybody having people move to California? Oh, wait, you wouldn't know. You weren't here first.
I've been here about 10 years now.
I've been here my whole life.
I'm a long-term transplant at this point.
Yeah, I've been here my whole life. People like you that are making my life harder.
But moreover, what'd you think of the episode, Cassie?
I liked it.
You liked it? Yeah, I'm a fan of this one too. I think it's not one that I can rewatch because it's sort of emotionally kind of hard, but it's very good all the same. I have a really good time with the general concept of there being two Amys from two times dealing with two different sets of emotions.
I mean, because it is two Amys in two times, but it's just it's when future Amy really shines. Future Amy was giving like hardcore Nebula.
Yeah, that's
so I was like,
if you told me that was what James Gunn chose to like hire,
that's her why for Nebula. That's why I asked, because I was like, if this was coming out at around the same time, then that sort of like character depth would track, or like, you know, if you're somebody who works on a lot of projects, sometimes your character emotions overlap a little bit. But I agree. If you had told me that this is what James Gunn was looking at and saying, I would like to see her.
Can she be blue and bald?
Can she be blue and made out of robot parts? Which I also really liked the irony of old Amy having her armor made of robot parts. I was like, this is just a little like fun future joke for me.
Nobody would have any idea for a couple of years.
No. Well, because they didn't even start working on Guardians until 2012.
Yeah. So this would have been after this time.
Yeah.
So
that's just like a little like hindsight 2020, a little tongue in cheek.
Yeah. I really thought this was also a good acting episode for Karen Gillan. It really lets her explore some emotions she doesn't normally get to.
No. I mean, yeah, I agree with you. No, she doesn't get to explore a lot of emotions.
Yeah. This like long term, like PTSD that she gets to express through this like resentment she has built up for both the doctor and Rory.
Because she's been left now by the doctor twice.
Mm-hmm.
Once when she was a child and she was able to just write him out of her memory as a, well, this is just my plucky little whimsy.
Yeah, at least when that happened, she got to go back inside to her aunt.
It was the phrase Raggedy Man that I went, oh my God, because the first time you hear it is when, you know, it's just like lovingly, oh, that's my Raggedy Man. But then when she says it this time, it's insert it here.
In fact, I think I can now definitely say I hate him. I hate the doctor. I hate him more than I've ever hated anyone in my life, and you can hear every word of this through those ridiculous glasses, can't you, Raggedy Man?
Yes.
Ouch!
Yeah,
Is she a snake? Because, oh boy, does her bite hurt.
The famous red-headed Scottish snake.
Yeah, Scotland's full of snakes.
You know, it probably is. That's why they invented golf, all those snake holes. At the beginning of this episode, I realized that this doctor's outfit was not one that we had touched on in the slideshow.
I thought it looked different.
Yeah, I had. He's worn it once before. He worn it in Let's Kill Hitler, but I had forgotten to include it on the slideshow. So just a quick overview here, because it's mostly the same. It's mostly just, but instead of his tweed jacket, he's got this sort of olive green trench coat number. Do you have any strong opinions about it?
No,
that you'd like
because
to share?
When you said we saw it in Let's Kill Hitler, I went, oh, well, I guess we have seen it before. So it wasn't remarkable. I just notated the length of the coat.
And yeah, like, I just forgot. I had forgotten to ask about it that episode. So
it's
I figured
a cool
I would just
length for a coat. And that was it. That
yeah.
Was
and
my
and he
thought.
Wears it well. I like how thin it is. Like it looks like a comfortable jacket.
That's just Matt Smith. He is a thin, comfortable jacket.
Yeah. And then did you have any particular reaction to this episode taking place during a pandemic?
It was the fact that they called it the Gen 7 plague. And I went, oh, my God, what is that if it's the Gen Z plague? So everybody's finger gunning at each other.
I thought they found a creative way with it being only affecting two-hearted races. So the doctor can't leave the TARDIS because the Apalapachians are also have bicameral hearts. So they're dying and the doctor would die. But Amy and Rory are safe. And that sort of I really like that they found a good way to let the episode just be about those two people.
Yeah. Giving a very legitimate reason for the doctor to not at all be involved.
Yeah. And in some ways be almost the antagonist of the story in a way. Like the whole the story entirely happens because the doctor is careless in the way he travels. Because he looks for adventure, and so he doesn't bother to check if there's a plague going on, if there's a quarantine that might lock somebody in a faster time stream.
To be fair, that's not really something you think of often. When you're going to a different country, you don't think, ooh, I should check and see how many people are sick right now.
I mean, that wasn't how we thought, but it's certainly a thing right now with COVID. Like, I don't want to go anywhere near Texas right now, but with the measles outbreak.
That's different, though.
Yeah, just like the thing is, like, that's the idea, is that I just thought it was interesting that they found a way to make the Doctor an antagonist without necessarily making him an outright villain, which I feel like would have been an easier choice. Having it just be about Amy and Rory, though, does end up creating what I thought was kind of it's a really nice moment. But when I stepped out of it for a minute, it did make me laugh. There's that moment where Amy and older Amy are talking through the little time glass,
mm-hmm.
and they're talking about Rory and how much they love Rory. And I'm like, this is sort of the anti-Bechdel test. This is not even two women. It's the same woman talking to herself about how much she loves a man.
Well, here's the part that made me laugh when I stepped outside of it is. So future Amy literally disarms one of the hand robots.
Mm-hmm.
Like chopping off its hands. So I went, that's stupid. I like it. And then draws on this very plain, like, it looks like when you, yeah, it looks like when you get a Nintendo Wii for the first time and you haven't made any Miis. It's one of those guys. It's just a very basic, and they're like, oh, or she calls it Rory. Mm-hmm. And I went, that's kind of sad that she just drew this very, like, unassuming face on this robot and is calling it Rory. Says how she says a lot about how she feels about him. And then in their conversation, they're like, Rory's the most beautiful man we've ever known. And I went, you made a Wilson. You made a robot Wilson out of him.
See, I didn't see it as like this unassuming face. What I had seen it as was almost like, you know, if you watch like old Mickey Mouse cartoons, how they just put a big Mickey head smiling at the camera. I saw that kind of expression on his face.
I do like that she also maintained her lipstick after 36 years.
Yeah, that somehow it's like it just totally fine. I feel like that would have been.
No, you would be surprised how well lipsticks and cosmetics survive. There's stuff that's been like dug up from ancient Egypt that is still technically usable. Yeah, you shouldn't, because it's from ancient Egypt.
It's full of curses.
But you'd be surprised how well stuff like that can maintain itself. My thing is, and it the two thoughts go into each other, so just stay with me. Follow okay. me.
I'm coming along your journey. I'm holding your hand.
She does say something along the lines of, well, that's the first time I've laughed in 36 years, when they're mocking the glasses that the Doctor makes for Rory to wear. And he's like, oh, it's better than a fez.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me that in 36 years she didn't have a Delulu girl moment. That lipstick would have been gone, because I am a girl with a multitude of mental illnesses. Would have absolutely just gone completely buck wild with my lipstick. That I would have put it on my face, all over my face. I would have tried to make face prints on on the ground so I could talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd be laughing. Ha ha ha. Self jokes. Remember that one time when we, oh yeah. Ha ha. What a lark. You cannot tell me, unless she is absolutely sane, which there's a non-zero chance that Amy Pond does not have mental illnesses.
I mean, I don't know how you could when you travel in the TARDIS.
Normal.
See,
you can't tell me that in 36 years she didn't have a complete and total mental breakdown where she tried to make an effigy of herself and hang it. That absolutely, just to feel something.
See, I just feel like if you took a robot and you named it after your husband and you were then you're stewing alone for 36 years, she would have made out with that robot at some point.
I would have fucked it.
That's where the hands went.
No, because the hands have the anesthetic. Hey, now.
This is what dreams are made of.
Oh, man. But speaking of makeup, they did a beautiful job on her old age.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did a beautiful job on her old.
Yeah, they did a great job making Amy look like an old Amy, except for her like arms and hands, which were still 20 something year old Amy.
Yes. But also she kind of has old lady hands anyways.
In what way?
There's just like a specificity of like, just because she is a rather thin person. Mm-hmm. And they did something with her nails too, to not make them like, she wasn't freshly manicured. Like she had like gunk and stuff on them.
Okay.
So it did, at the very least, they did do something with her nails and to just make it look like they weren't manicured. And
they only really draw attention to her hands at the very end of the episode. When honestly, I feel like having makeup on them might've been distracting.
And
at
it's
that
also
point.
Something too, where it's like, since she is skinny, like I am built like a little baby hippo.
You're not built like a hippo.
My hands.
You're built like a Greek statue.
Thank you.
Like the Greek statues featured in this episode.
Yeah.
Eyes front, soldier.
Well, it's just like it's more of a comment on like when you do have more weight on you, your hands tend to also have weight on them. Mm-hmm. Because Karen Gillan is pretty thin and mm-hmm. lean, she does not have a lot of weight on and in her hands. So like she does have not old lady hands in the sense that like you know our good friend Mariah. She has witch hands. I believe for her whole life she has had like a hag's hands. Mm-hmm. Karen Gillan doesn't have hag hands. But she also isn't sporting Greek statue hands either.
It's kind of wild to think
Long we've been talking about her fucking hands. I know.
No, that we're nearly like halfway to the point where she would have been that age in the episode. She waited 36 years and it's been 14 since it aired. So we're not exactly halfway there.
What the fuck are you talking about?
It's been 14 years since the episode aired.
Okay.
And so I was thinking that
that's 28 years, dude.
Well, I guess more accurately, we're like a third of the way through.
Yes.
I was doing like 15's half of 30. That's where my brain was going.
Yeah, it's 36.
Yeah, my brain is doing a lot of rounding. Don't make fun of the way I do math.
I am. Because also, timey-wimey wibble wobble doesn't even matter, bro.
Tibble wibble hibble dibble.
I will say, completely jumping into a different topic.
Mm-hmm.
Splish splash. That's me jumping. I like how homemade the TARDIS looks.
Yeah, with all of its different, with the way that like the console
I'm so angry knowing what this TARDIS turns into. Every time I see it, I'm like, I like this one so much.
Don't go away. Don't leave me.
Because there is a very like Manic Pixie Dream Girl quality about the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Down to his TARDIS made of found things. Mm-hmm. Like he's a fucking fairy boy.
Yeah, they do really lean into the Fae angle with Matt Smith's Doctor.
Fangle. I do also really like how much more now the Doctor talks to the TARDIS, knowing that she is a woman.
Yeah. Well, because even though there's still an element of like, I'm talking to my car. Like the, oh, what's the bad Amy done to you?
Nasty Amy.
What's the nasty Amy done to you? Yeah, so there's definitely an element of, like, not infantilization, but it still feels like he's talking to some kind of machine. I feel like our experience with it is different now that we've seen her be alive.
Well, because also, the Doctor does have DeLulu girl moments.
Facilitated by the TARDIS, who shows him projections of his past companions and yeah. gives him guilt.
I also didn't know that the BBC could reference Disneyland.
Oh, yeah. They say that there's a Disneyland on another planet, Disneyland Clome.
Which then also does filter into the I did enjoy the gate.
Oh, yeah. The room where you can go into different entertainment
zones.
Yeah,
it was the specificity of Amy picking the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognize, like, from a production standpoint, that means that they probably went to some kind of botanical garden or historical site that has a lovely garden.
Mm-hmm. And they just CG'd it up so the hedges have weird shapes.
Yeah,
at the top.
But there is a specific version of Alice in Wonderland.
Mm-hmm.
It is my favorite version that aired on TV. That is the most I can tell you about it. It's got Martin Short as the Mad Hatter and Gene Wilder in it as well.
As not the Mad Hatter?
No, it's, we'll have to watch it. It's on Tubi.
Okay.
For any of you who want to, it's a really great version. It's very accurate to the book. But anyways, the shot of her step or choosing the garden and then stepping through was very like straight out of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I would love to see an Amy Pond's Adventures in Wonderland.
I mean, this was not, I mean, it wasn't not that.
Well, because then I also started then falling down the rabbit hole about, like, who is who in Alice in Wonderland and Doctor Who. So I really did like the idea of Amy Pond being Alice specifically. Yeah. And then the fucking Doctor is the Mad Hatter.
Is he the Mad Hatter or is he the White Rabbit?
Rory is the March Hare. That's the only reason why the Doctor is still the Mad Hatter.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but we could take every iteration of the Doctor and just all of the companions and put them in there. Donna's the Red Queen, obviously.
We talk a lot about Amy in this episode because I think she gets the spotlight having dual roles. But I also want to say that Rory, Arthur Darvill, is...
He has some wonderful moments. He specifically yells at the Doctor, "You're turning me into you."
Yeah.
Ouch!
And also that moment where he's like, "You should check if there's quarantines," and he's like, "That's not the way I travel." And he's like, "Then I don't want to travel with you," and like throws the glasses on the ground. I thought that was also a really like, "Whoa, this is a turning point." I really like that moment. I think, but also that he just has to play this like weird dichotomy where he is looking at the person that he loves most in the world, and she both is and isn't her. And is having to go through a lot of emotions, like the fact that he's let her down, but is also still trying to save her, but also has the opportunity to like save her in the past. Like there's a lot Arthur Darvill's having to juggle in this episode. And I think he's doing a very good job. I also really like that when both Amy's are fighting and both of them are trying to get Rory to side with her, Rory's option is just to go,
ladies. I was laughing earlier at the thought, at the question of what's a thought so powerful it could rip through time. And I'm so angry. It's the Macarena.
I saw you were sitting here trying to like come up with like pre-bits and there was nothing you were going to come up with that was going to be sillier than the Macarena.
Well, because like the answers that I would do would be like very personal to me and not funny as a general whole. They're bits that would like, it would rope in one person and it would be like, what's a thought so powerful it could rip through time, and it would be Katie's butt.
What's a thought so powerful it could rip through time? I want my baby back, baby back, baby back.
What's a thought so powerful it could rip through time? Those Quiznos commercials. With those little things that... I know they're saying words, but the image of them, the sound goes.
What's a thought so powerful could rip through time? Life is like a hurricane here in Duckburg.
It's a duck blur. That's my favorite rhyme in history. Duckburg with duck blur. Iconic. What's a thought that could rip through time?
Hey, Macarena.
Hi. Well, because
there was nothing we were going to come up with that was going to be better than the Macarena.
No, because we're even this is still just branching back to a conversation we had in this house. You weren't here. But it was us going through the house saying our favorite autistic stims. And right now, all of mine are either commercials or SpongeBob. Specifically, oh brother, this guy stinks. It's so funny to just say when you're alone in a storage room and I think you can hear through the walls, but that makes it even better. Nothing will ever be funnier than the Macarena, which also makes me very angry that it's the Macarena and Rory goes, our first kiss. And that just asks more questions. What the fuck do you mean, Rory?
What are you like? Were you just
because she's doing the Macarena as a just the, it was the second that happened. I went, oh, the episode lost me. Okay. Thanks. Well,
you can't imagine kissing somebody after doing something really stupid like the Macarena?
Because my first kiss, might I remind you, happened with somebody, I won't name names, but somebody I met off of Tinder, and we went to the movies to see Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
I had gotten food beforehand, and so I was like, hey, let's just sit outside of the library that's right over here. And there's a water feature. It is not on, but it's still nice. Finished my food, and then we were talking. We went, oh, no, we're too late for the movie. I guess we'll just stay out here then. And, like, it was getting darker, and the lights were popping on, and it was so beautiful and romantic. And then he leans over and kisses me with his retainer on. Me having eaten Ono Hawaiian barbecue, him leaving his retainer on. So no, Zach, I can't imagine what it's like doing the Macarena and then having your first kiss with somebody, because my story is infinitely worse than that.
I mean, ours was
the
after
Macarena.
Ours was after mini golf. It's not that much.
Yeah, but that's also you asking at the very tip top of that date, can I kiss you later? And then me going, like really having a hard time. There is, though, that does bring me to the next topic of what would you do? Because I feel like of all the companions, I feel like I'm pretty Amy.
Okay.
Just very stubborn and
unpredictable.
Unpredictable. And if anybody can do it, it's me.
Yeah.
But then also feeling very down on myself at times. But that's a whole other episode. So it's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. I get stuck in two time zones, and you can either save old, pissed off survivor, my whole life has been hell since the day you left, or me right now.
Putting yourself in
Rory's shoes.
Ooh, that's real tough for sure. If I like assuming all the same rules apply, where if I take you know, younger you and older you ceases to exist, I probably would lean a little doctory and be like, well, if I take you, the tortured Cassie isn't real, which is doubly good for me because it means that I don't have to like leave someone with the feeling of being abandoned because they will disappear. And two, it means I won't have had you be tortured for 36 years.
But my cool outfit.
I learned how to use a katana.
Yeah, I taught myself how to reprogram robots and hack into mainframes
and build a sonic screwdriver.
It's a probe. So you would do the same thing? I probably
would end up doing the same thing.
Because easy for me if it was you. Absolutely. Bye, old Zach. I'm so sorry. I'll remember your legacy. I'll make a painting of you or something.
To be fair, I feel like there's not a huge vibe difference between me and an old me.
No. You're just kind of preemptively boring.
What do you mean? What about me possibly says boring? Is it the various art pieces of celery? The fact that I like to eat bananas?
You have no celery art. I would love it if we had celery.
Would you rather
art.
I was a criminal?
I mean, that'd be kind of fun and adventurous. It would put me in a state.
Fine, I'll be a criminal. I'll go drink regular milk.
You wouldn't dare. You know that would upset your tummy. I so much as sniff milk. Yeah, no, for me, easy. Just bye, old Zach. Like, I'm so sorry. I do like that old Amy, though, specifically says, like, if I go in there, I will not leave kindly.
Yeah.
I will be kicking and screaming. If you love her, you'll leave me out.
Yeah.
Because then that is Amy making the decision for herself.
Yeah, it's a very, like,
putting Rory in a spot where he is not, she's not banging on the door and pleading for him to stay.
Yeah.
Or to, like, take her instead. She is admitting, or, like, she is surrendering herself to the circumstance so much so that she lets the hand robots, which we have not talked about enough. Okay. They turn into robot Demogorgons, Zach.
Yeah, with their face opening up.
Because I went, that's a very Moffat thing to do. And then I went, oh, yeah, this episode was written by Moffat.
It was written by a McCray. Moffat
McCray.
was...
McCray!
Yeah. Moffat was the showrunner, though, so he did have editing over the episode for
sure. Yeah, so, but the robots being friendly, specifically walking around saying,
this is a kindness.
Do not be alarmed. I went, this is the same vibe as those, like, weird little tentacle jellyfish. Like, your death is imminent. Please stay calm. So I'm like, that's so fucking I love it. We'll keep it going. Well, we can do it again. Why not?
They found a good balance with their design, too, where they're...
Well, they're just waddling around. They are silly little guys.
Yeah.
They aren't as silly as Daleks mm-hmm. when they get all angry and they start wiggling, but...
Well, yeah, because there's a part of me where I'm like, they need to feel... comforting in the way that like a nurse is. So there needs to be something clinical about them. So I do like that they're all white. I like that they do have like a little wobble to them, that they are friend shaped.
I do kind of they're like skinny Baymax. I do wish that their hands were not gloves. I know why they do that, just for consistency's sake, mm-hmm. because if everybody's wearing the same size glove and are donning the same robot suit, then mm-hmm. they just look like they're copies. I do think it would have been really weird, though, and kind of freaky if they had just let the actor's hands pop through and then painted them white
mm-hmm.
so that way they could be a little bit more dexterous.
Yeah, but also there is still something like, there's something really uncanny about the like...
They just look like dish gloves. That was my like... That's where I was like, oh, yeah, they have scary human hands, specifically like, and it recalled for me an episode of Adventure Time.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the Stranger episodes, but there is a deer that takes off its hooves and then stretches his like human hands. And the hands are like very skinny for the size of deer that it is. And it's just very off-putting. And I wanted that for this, but I did not get that for this. And Demogorgon, yeah, those were the only two things I wanted to say about those stupid robots.
What I wonder is why it has so many syringes. Like, is there not, you don't have any, like, alcohol wipes? It's all injectables?
Mm-hmm. You got a problem with that?
And it's, like, it's got, like, an ammo ring of them around around its, like, Demogorgon face, and then just one big syringe cannon.
Well, just in case you're... really wiggly? I don't know.
This is a kindness. Stand down while I shoot you with a needle. Oh, thank you, Nurse Robot.
Thank you for your calming touch.
I just put it together. Those robots are supposed to be nurses, and the robot is also Rory, so there's two Nurse Rorys.
Hey, speaking of similarities, the Amy and Amy paradox did remind me a little bit, though, of... Beth Smith and Rick and Morty.
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
Where you don't know if it's the clone or if it's actual Beth.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we yet have an answer about that, but it's just like...
Oh, and Rick and Morty?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Beth's clone is the one who was there. Beth, the real Beth ran off into space.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Dick. I was trying to be dramatic. But something else that I did... like, and just branching back, is that future Amy did leave on her own terms,
mm-hmm.
specifically with the phrase, tell Amy I'm giving her my days.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ugh, future Amy, I'm so sorry. Locks the door. I'm so, man, I wish you the best. Shuts the blinds. Ah, too bad we couldn't take you with. Walks away from the door.
Anyway, back to my young wife.
Back to my young hot Amy, who's passed out in a chair.
Yeah, I do like, and we've talked about Amy and Rory, but I do really like the moment where the doctor has to look her in the eye and say, I'm sorry, as he shuts the door on her.
It was just very doctor-y.
I mean, it's one of those, they talk a lot about the doctor being a dark character. This is one of those times where you really like, oh, okay.
He's not all sunshine and daisies wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
He's not a good man all the time.
Yep. Well, I think that's something that I really do like about Matt Smith. And right now I'm circling around the, like, I really liked how believable Eccleston was as that kind of a character.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Smith is doing a very good job at also emulating that kind of a character,
mm-hmm.
which, nothing against David Tennant,
mm-hmm.
But David Tennant now can play that character. I don't think back then he was very good at it.
Yeah, even then his darkness always felt more like
brooding.
Yeah, it felt like brooding or guilt.
Yeah.
This one feels a little bit more
intentional.
Like, yeah, this one feels a little more like who he is.
Yeah.
And also like because Matt Smith's silly mode is so silly compared to Tennant.
Oh, yeah.
That the darker stuff hits even harder than the fact that he can hit both of those notes so well.
Mm-hmm.
Really sings for him, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think Moffat is good at exploring that space more than Davies was.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's like Davies has a lot of like good big ideas, but I think Moffat's the one who really like digs in to more of the like emotional core.
I think Moffat is doing a much better job at giving actors their actor moments.
Yeah.
Or encouraging and pushing the writers to find those moments for the actors / the characters.
Yeah.
But then the episode ends with present Amy, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Waking up asking, where is she? And then the episode just ends.
Because there's a part of it that's like, I would love to see them have to explain that to her.
I would really love there to have been a little bit more of an emotional reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Like a moment of a couple seconds of silence.
Mm-hmm.
Of just like reading those emotions on Rory's face.
Because mm-hmm. it doesn't end on her saying that. It ends on the doctor looking at that moment. And I think in my purview, in my interpretation of it,
please.
I think what they're doing in that moment is still calling the doctor out on, at this point, being a coward.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is one thing that he lied to Amy already and told her that he could save her. And now this hard conversation is happening and he's leaving the room.
He's leaving the room under the guise of, I'll just give you two a moment.
Yeah.
Which is, it is the coward's way out, but it is also him doing, it's him acting like weirdly very human.
Yeah.
Where then you would say like, oh, well, I was giving you guys a moment. I'm, you know, that's very,
something a little manipulative about it.
Emotionally manipulative.
Yeah.
Particularly after he had already gotten an earful both from Rory via the glasses and then from Rory in the TARDIS.
And then also at, you know, at the beginning when they first find Amy, Amy says that she hates the doctor now.
Yeah.
So I, because
like I said, future Amy has now been abandoned by the doctor twice.
Yes. And in this case, much longer and much worse. Because at least in the first time she was a child and could go back into her aunt. Here, she was in solitary confinement for nearly 40 years.
Ugh.
Right.
Which also, like, in that defense, too, like, there were plenty of spaces for her to go.
Mm-hmm.
And she did reprogram the interface to, like, be a companion
mm-hmm.
and talk to. But also, could you imagine your only, like, form of interaction being a robot you chopped the hands off of and
you can't even touch her. He has no hands.
He's got wires.
I do like that the little robot at one point reaches down with what I think is just like a little claw, a little like tongs, and picks up the glasses and hands them to Rory.
Yeah.
That
I do like that this robot has effectively been neutered.
And then yeah, he's not his pet. He's not her pet. He's not her lover. He's her eunuch.
Yes.
I think my favorite moment for that robot, though, is when old Amy remembers how much she loves Rory. They come out and she like kisses him and robot Rory just like turns away very slowly.
Yeah. I do like Rory figuring out that she has named the robot Rory when she tells Rory to sit down and both do.
Did you like Amy revealing that she has a cat named Biggles?
Oh my god, I love that. Favorite cat named Biggles.
That means she has other cats.
Yeah.
That were eaten by the giant eel monster from the very first episode.
Oh no, prisoner one.
No, sorry, they were eaten by the Kraken Time. That's right. They were eaten by the Kraken Time.
Cats are smart enough. They could crawl. They could trot right out of that.
The cats who knocked everything into the Kraken Time.
That's where all missing socks go. That's where my DS games from like 15 years ago went.
Next episode's going to be a very special episode for us.
Why is that?
We're going to have a guest on our next episode.
a special guest.
Our roommate slash occasional
studio audience
member, Haley Callahan, Haley Baker Callahan, also known as Trickster Bell online. I asked her if she wanted a guest on that episode because she has been our frequent audience member, and her choice is the next episode. So we will get into that on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Wait. What's the name of it?
Oh, it's called The God Complex.
Of course. That's the episode Haley wants to sit in on. All right. Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? Yes, you heard that right. Next week, we will have a special guest on the show, our good friend and artist known as Trickster Bell online, who has some very interesting things to say about the God Complex next week. So if you're interested in getting that episode, be sure you are subscribed to this podcast wherever you are listening right now. If you've got requests for future guests for future episodes, come let us know over on Twitter, Blue Sky, or Threads at WIMDPod. That's WIMDPOD. Until then, we'll see you next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Whose Days.